Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. And welcome back. It's the 45th day of the Omer, and you know what that means. Only four more days till cheesecake time in the Old Town tonight. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Well, the holiday of Shavuot starts this week on Tuesday night and ends Thursday night after sundown. This is the season of receiving the Torah, and you want to make sure that you are in your respective synagogues Wednesday morning to hear the Ten Commandments, or in Hebrew, Aseret Hadibros. It's also very important for both men and women, so even if you can't stay for the whole service, just come by and listen to the Torah reading and be part of the acceptance of the Ten Commandments. Of course, we'll be learning all night Tuesday night as well in preparation for the receiving of the Torah, so if you can, find a synagogue and learn with them as long as you can stay up. It's a lot of fun and sometimes life-changing. Well, the parsha this week is Bamidbar, which means in the desert. Once again, God counts his children, the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. If you're regular listeners to our show, you know that God counts his people over and over, which shows his love for them, just like you count your own children when you're out with them and try to ensure no one's missing. Chas v'shalom. And speaking of counting, we're always counting on our award-winning staff to bring you the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Ward Lent. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Special guest this week is a recognized expert on parenting, which really goes with, God parenting his children on Shavuos kind of thing, with Rabbi Zalman Leib Markowitz, who's principal of the Cheder, or School for Children in Morristown, New Jersey. He'll be visiting Pittsburgh this Sunday to speak to the Pittsburgh Jewish community on parenting, and you'll hear a taste or a teaser of his talk this Sunday straight ahead. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And don't forget to take time now to support Jewish Radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week by sending an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or by calling 412-979-5770. And, of course, we'll let you in on all the details. If you like what you hear, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor with us. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo, and his popular story segment is sponsored by Perfect Flooring. They take the showroom to you. The community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular Feminine Perspective and Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is available for sponsorship, so call us right now and reserve your spot. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. Our entire staff works hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishi, and Artistic Photography. And don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 8:14 p.m. So sit back and take in the last a cappella show, and here we go.
Oh, no.
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refuah Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The current Yontif of Shavuos commemorates the receiving of the Torah, Hashem's greatest gift to the Jewish nation. Just as Hashem himself is infinite and unlimited, so is the Torah, being God-given, infinite. Every individual may view Torah in a different light. Some regard Torah as a means to gain reward and avoid punishment, as promised in the Torah. To others, the Torah is a guide to good, wholesome living and an ideal social system. But both of these views, however, are limited. Hasidic teachings go much deeper than these views of Torah. The Torah is a profound inner significance. According to the explanation of Hasidic philosophy, the underlying purpose of the Torah is to serve as the link between the Creator and creation. A brief explanation of this point is called for. Creation is generally divided into four kingdoms. The first and lowest is the realm of inanimate, inorganic matter, such as rock, earth, or water. Next is the level of plant life, above which is the animal kingdom. Finally, on the highest scale of creation, is the thinking, speaking human being. All creation is finite. But the Creator is infinite. There is no common denominator between the two. In respect to the Creator, there is no difference among the four kingdoms of creation. There is no difference in respect to the Almighty between the highest intellect among men and the crudest stone. Both are creation, and as such, have no relationship with the Creator. That is why it is impossible for even the most brilliant human being to grasp Hashem with his intellect. However, Hashem gave man a possibility to approach and commune with him. Hashem showed us how an insignificant creature can reach beyond his inherent limitations and commune with Hashem, the Infinite, through studying his Torah and obeying his commandments. Here lies the most important aspect of the Torah and mitzvahs. They provide the means for us to rise above our status as creatures, mortals. We are capable now of attaining a far higher degree of perfection than we ever could with our own created, limited gifts of mind.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience,
412-521-2600. Oh,
Time for a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Aside from his magnum opus, Mishneh Torah, the Rambam wrote many other commentaries. One of them is Pirush HaMishnayos, a commentary on the Mishnah, which is a massive work written while the Rambam was fleeing from place to place. It was composed in Arabic and subsequently translated into Hebrew by the famous Ibn Tibbon family. An explanation of each Mishnah in the six orders of Mishnayos, the Rambam touches on many indirectly related topics, such as the reason for the sequence of each tractate in its respective order, a record of the transmission of the oral law to the leaders of each generation from Moshe to Rav Ashi, and the 13 basic beliefs of Judaism, the Ani Mamin. Sefer HaMitzvos. Also written in Arabic, this work is an enumeration of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. In the introduction, Rambam enumerates 14 rules for determining what divine commands are to be listed. For example, a precept that only applied for a limited time, such as the prohibition of approaching Mount Sinai at the giving of the Torah, is not counted. Particular laws of a mitzvah are not counted separately, such as fashioning the holy ark, the table, and the menorah, which are included in the commandment to build the Beis HaMikdash. In several instances, other Rishonim disagree with Rambam's list of mitzvos. For example, based on the first of the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord thy God, Rambam states that belief in the existence of God is a positive commandment. Ramban, however, holds that belief in God precedes all mitzvahs and is not to be counted as a mitzvah per se, for belief is the basis of all observance. Mora Nevuchim. A treatise on Jewish philosophy written in Arabic, Mora Nevuchim deals with philosophical concepts that are foreign to the Western mind. Although sections do discuss such important topics as the nature of prophecy, clarification of verses that ascribe physical characteristics to God, such as the hands of God and God was angry, and the significance of the different divine names found in the Bible. Along with Rambam's other Arabic writings and a number of books written in that language by other scholars, Mora Nevuchim was translated into Hebrew by the famous Ibn Tibbon family of translators over several generations in the 12th and 13th centuries. Igeres Taimon, a letter to the Jews of Yemen, was written at a time when the Yemenite Jews were under the sway of fanatical Arabs, who offered them the choice between conversion to Islam or death. Told by a local rabbi that they must submit to death, many Jews fell into a state of abject despair. In Igeres Taimon, Rambam emphatically ruled that the Torah did not require martyrdom, because Islam, unlike Christianity, believes in one God. As such, the Jews of Yemen were instructed to adopt Islam outwardly, while remaining loyal Jews in the privacy of their homes. When the pressure abated, Rambam wrote, they should return to open Jewish observance. The Jews followed this ruling and remained faithful. In the 1800s, the Jews of Mashhad, Iran, were faced with the same situation and responded in a similar manner. Thereby, the Rambam became regarded as the savior of Yemenite Jewry. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Gaza terrorists have launched four Qassam rockets at Sderot and the Shar HaNegev area. There's a report of a fire in a field near Shar HaNegev. No school in Sderot, reversing an earlier offer by the city to open schools to those who wanted them. The attack following five Israeli Air Force strikes against Hamas targets Thursday night and Friday morning in response to the 20 rockets launched on Thursday. Four terrorists killed and six others wounded at a training base east of Gaza City also eliminated two members of a rocket-launching cell. Two other Qassam attacks at night, one rocket hitting a Sderot synagogue an hour after the dedication of a Torah scroll, the other forcing Prime Minister Ehud Olmert into a shelter during a solidarity visit to the western Negev city. Kidnappings between rival gunmen in Gaza renewed Thursday night as Hamas reported four of its men taken by Fatah gunmen. Earlier, a Fatah gunman was killed and two more were wounded in an explosion in central Gaza. Hamas threatening to execute anyone interfering with rocket fire, according to Israel government radio. Fatah officials say that members of Hamas have planned to kill Fatah chief and PLO chairman Mahmoud Abbas. Abbas canceling a peacemaking trip to Gaza after a bomb tunnel was discovered under a road on which he was to travel, according to the PNN news agency. However, Fatah officials said the terrorists had planned to kill Abbas using a car bomb. Channel 2 television, quoting PLO sources, is saying the army electronically took over several Gaza radio stations, using them to issue a call to area civilians to flee zones from which the Qassam rockets are being launched. Sderot Mayor Eli Moyal has ordered city workers to remain in the city despite the frequent rocket attacks, adding that any worker who leaves at this time could be fired. Moyal explaining that city workers are desperately needed to help the city handle the attacks and that they will be allowed to leave as soon as possible. Minister of Pensioners Affairs Rafi Eitan meeting with Moyal to present his plan to provide immediate protection for Sderot, the head of the Pensioners Party, bringing a background from the security establishment. Eitan said Thursday that he would work with the Eshel organization to send approximately 2,000 pensioners from Sderot to a weekend vacation at hotels in Jerusalem and near the Dead Sea starting today at a cost of approximately 2 million shekels. Hamas has threatened to resume suicide bomber attacks against Israel in retaliation for Israeli airstrikes on its operations bases in Gaza. Quoting Abu Ubaidah, a spokesman for the terrorist group, all options are open, including martyrdom operations. The Labor Party Central Committee meeting today to discuss the future of its part in the coalition government. Members will discuss three options, one of which includes pulling out of the government immediately. The other options are to delay a decision until after the primaries for chairman in 10 days or after the new chairman is in place. University students voting today on a government offer to end their month-long strike against tuition hikes and other reforms proposed by the Shokat Commission on Higher Education. The offer includes an additional billion shekels for the budget and the right of students to veto the commission's recommendations. Officials say the chief rabbinate of Israel has upheld a ban on Jewish participation in a long-planned Christian women's conference organized by the Knesset's Christian Allies Caucus next week in Jerusalem due to concern that some of the organizations involved in the event are active in missionary work. The decision follows a fierce campaign by religious Jerusalem City Councilwoman Mina Fenton, who worked for months to have the event banned by the rabbinate. The decision was reaffirmed over the objections of caucus chairman Rabbi Benny Elon. A compromise proposal whereby Rabbi Elon would welcome the guests at the conference and speak against proselytizing Jews was rejected. The decision can be overturned by the country's two chief rabbis themselves, officials say, although such a move is seen as unlikely. Former Chief Ashkenazi Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau has said a definite no to those who would have him run for president. There had been rumors about him running. Nothing official was confirmed. Vice Premier Shimon Peres has all but officially announced that he's running for the post. Former Knesset Speaker Reuven Rivlin and Labor Member of Knesset Colette Avital round out the list of candidates. It's Aleph for the first of Sivan, Rosh Chodesh, celebrating the new month on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, light local rain over the northern mountains, otherwise partly cloudy and warmer. On Shabbat, a significant rise in temperature, reaching warmer than usual inland. Hot, hazy, and dry Sunday morning with sandstorms in the Negev. Monday, partly cloudy with a significant drop in temperatures. In Jerusalem today, 26 degrees centigrade, 79 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 36 degrees centigrade, 97 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea, 35 degrees centigrade, 95 Fahrenheit. The Golan Heights and Haifa, 25 degrees centigrade, 77 Fahrenheit. Beersheba, 31 degrees centigrade, 88 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Let's have some hearty mazel tovs this week for Mr. and Mrs. Label Shifrin on the birth of their first granddaughter. Mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. And, of course, the bar mitzvah. Mr. and Mrs. Edward Ringler on the bar mitzvah, their son Yehuda. And those are the mazel tovs that are happening this week that were reported to the Jewish Experience. And there is a number of events going on around the community, so let's start right at the top. Yeshiva Schools presents Our Children, Our Guarantors. The community is invited. Very special parenting lecture and question-and-answer session with guest speaker and our guest this week on the Jewish Experience, Rabbi Zalman Leib Markowitz, principal of the Morristown Cheder. Sunday, May 20th, 11 a.m. at the Yeshiva Boys School, 2100 Whiteman Street. For more information, please contact Rabbi Yossi Rosenblum at 412-422-7300, extension 1219. And there's a book sale Sunday, June 3rd at B'nai Amunah Synagogue, 4315 Murray Avenue. Thousands of books, fiction and nonfiction, also books in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Yiddish, some over 100 years old. Questions about the sale? Have books you wish to donate? Call B'nai Amunah at 412-521-1477 and leave a message. The community Pirkei Avos classes for women will occur throughout the community at area synagogues in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. The Rieger family and Shari Torah congregation invite you to a tribute to Tina Rieger, the wife of Howard Rieger, who recently passed away. It'll be this Sunday, May 20th at 6 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center Katz Theater. There is a charge. A tribute book will be printed. Please call 412-421-8855 for more information. A lunch and learn will take place at B'nai Amunah Synagogue on Thursday, May 24th, the second day of Shavuos. The event is free to the community. Snake Bites and Poison Antidotes, Can Torah Cure All? Is the proactive title taught by Rabbi Joseph Weiss. For more information, call 412-521-1477. And please mark the date, Jewish Community Day at Kennywood Park, Sunday, August 26th. And, of course, more details are going to follow. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. The program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. And don't forget, if you'd like to have your muscles on our program, and I know there's been some other simchas out there and not going to get on unless you, you know, let us know about them, please call 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And, of course, don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 8:14 p.m. Welcome today, Rabbi Zalman Leib Markowitz, who is the principal of Cheder Lubavitch in Morristown, who is going to be speaking in Pittsburgh this Sunday on the concept of parenting. And today we know it's a very important issue. It's something that parents are grappling with more and more in the Internet age and with the more permissive society that we're in right now. So to begin with this, I know that you've been principal for 17 or at least 9 years and have been working with the school for about 17 years. And because of that, obviously, you come in contact with many parents and you've come up against many parenting issues. And as I understand, you're also a nationally recognized expert on parenting and have counseled hundreds of families. So let's talk a little bit about the parenting issue. And just to start, what do you think is the most important issue facing parents today?
I'll tell you, it's a very hard question to answer, most important, because everything in this topic of education is really most important.
Sure.
However, I would like to make a point about something very general before we may talk about a couple of details.
Okay.
Parents in general, everybody will agree that one of the most fortunate things in a person's life is having children. God forbid somebody doesn't have children as a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
However, for some reason, you'll see most parents, when it comes to the age of starting to deal with education, and as the children continue to grow, educating the children become to parents a very worrying, especially like you mentioned in the internet the generation and age, the situation today, it becomes such a worrying matter that parents are simply afraid of their children, and they're worried all the time what's going to happen.
Sure.
So I just feel, and I mention it to many people, and I speak about it a lot, that if you think about it, that it could come to a point where, obviously, when everything is smooth and someone has it very easy, they happen to be lucky, so to speak. But otherwise, in the most cases, it could come to a point where the children could feel that they are in some way a pain to their parents. Because, look, my parents' biggest worry in life, their biggest problem of life is myself. And if you think about it, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but if you think about it, the relationship that it causes from the child to the parent, if in any which way the child could feel that he or she has become the trouble in the parent's life, what would that do? And therefore, I feel that it's extremely important that parents should just change their psychologically, look at this whole topic and concept completely different. As far as I'm concerned, why wouldn't we say that educating children is the most pleasant, the biggest pleasure in one's life is that he is coming home, he or she, the father or the mother, coming home from a day's work, and they're able to sit down and to have time to discuss and help their child grow and help their child out of their challenge. And it should become not only that it shouldn't be something worrying and bitter, but rather something to look forward to come home and to be able to enjoy, to have the minutes of, I'm so fortunate that I have a child at home that I could help guide in life.
Sure. What do you do, though, with the child that comes home and has no interest, for example, in davening, or has no interest, for example, in learning? I mean, he'll do it if he's forced, but how do you instill that excitement in him?
You're asking a question on how to instill excitement, and obviously the answer to this is by each child different and depending on the whole general situation and level of the child. However, if the foundation is there, that you are happy to greet him, you are happy to deal with him or her, with their situation, you look forward, automatically the child will look forward to discuss it with you, that by itself, half of the job will be done. The most important issue, when you asked me in the beginning what I would think is the most important issue is that the parent should be able to connect to the child. One of the reasons why our children are going out to seek for other outside activities outside of the house, outside influence that is going on in the world, is because the home is not enough of supporting and exciting and enjoying for them, and therefore they have to go out. If you create a very exciting and warm environment in the house that the children find tremendous enjoyment in the house, that for itself avoids much of the problem of influences from the outside.
Okay, well, that makes sense. The question is now, can you give some tips to parents on how they would create that environment in short form with the limited time we have?
To create that environment, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you over to teenagers in particular.
Okay.
Although really, to create that environment that begins from day one, and we have to deal with younger children. But usually, by younger children, the situation is a lot different. With teenagers, which, as you know, teens at risk today is one of the biggest discussions and topics.
Absolutely.
I want to tell you something. Here you go. If you think about elementary age, after all, child in elementary school is both in school and at home viewed as a little kid who needs to be nurtured and supported. And therefore, you know, everybody is more or less very being warm to them. If you think about adults, you know, as soon as a person gets married, is the husband is the one to nurture his wife, and the wife is the one to nurture her husband. Because between me and you, we know that as old as you are, you always need the warm support from someone to care for you.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, the teenagers, for some reason, they are the only ones that are sort of in between, where they basically have no one to nurture them. Because we know good and well that parents sometimes are frightened from teenagers, and we look at them sometimes, I don't want to use the word, but sometimes it becomes like a monster situation.
Sure.
Where my teenager is coming home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then whatever else, all these kinds of troubles that I don't even want to mention.
Right.
In school, they are being dealt with very, like, grown-ups, like, instead of being dealt with more than a loving relationship, it's more an intellectual relationship. So they basically have no one to fall on to be nurtured and to be supported by emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, what happens is they go and search for each other, with each other, to somehow support each other, and being that they are not, they don't know always how to, they get in all kinds of problems. When you create a situation at home where even to your teenager, mom and dad realize that the teenager we treat like my little bubala, like my little child,
mm-hmm.
and not in a sense of treating them like a little child that you don't understand that he or she needs independence. I'm not talking about that. Just about caring and showing them that you're interested in their well-being and make sure that they ate good enough and they slept good enough. Not always only worrying if they did something right or wrong. You create such a feeling, such an environment. Again, as I said before, half of the job is done.
Okay. Well, it's a tall order, and we are out of time, and it is something that is definitely worth pursuing. And I think, obviously, you'll be able to go into this a lot more depth. You'll be here Sunday, this Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Yeshiva Boys School at 2100 Whiteman Street. So we encourage everybody who can to come out, and I understand you'll have a question and answer session as well. And so that'll be something that I think will be exciting, and something that'll be able to tap on your expertise. So I want to thank you for being with us this afternoon on the Jewish Experience radio program. It's Rabbi Zalman Leib Markowitz, who is the principal of Cheder Lubavitch in Morristown, who will be in Pittsburgh Sunday at 11 a.m. at the Yeshiva Boys School, 2100 Whiteman Street. And Rabbi, thank you very much for being with us. Have a very good Shabbos and a Freilich and Yontov.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much for all what you are doing there, and a good Shabbos and a good Yontov for the entire community.
Thank you. Be well. Bye-bye now. it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
Probably the most studied and pondered of all the emotions is the feeling of love. Love comes in many shapes and forms, each legitimate yet extremely diverse. The love between a parent and child is different than the love between a husband and wife. The feelings between two friends can differ vastly than the feelings of two siblings, yet we call each of them love. In addition, one of the most important mitzvot in the Torah is the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisroel, to love your fellow Jew as you love yourself. So now we have yet another type of love, self-love. Everybody does love themselves. Even those who commit suicide love themselves. The love is just to such an extent that the normal trials of life are too painful, so they kill themselves in order to stop the pain. This week, we will begin the fourth book of the Torah, Sefer Bamidbar, the Book of Numbers. Sefer Bamidbar deals mainly with the Jews' travels in the desert and the episodes and stories during those times. The first thing we learn about is God's command to Moshe to count the people. Perhaps the most famous reason given for this order is compared to the actions of a king who has many precious gems. The king spends many hours counting and recounting his priceless treasures, enjoying their feel and polishing them to a bright luster. The same is true with Hashem's command to count the Jews. We are Hashem's priceless treasures, and nothing gives him more pleasure than to look at us and care for us. Tzana Urana tells us that Hashem treated us to three different kinds of love while in the desert. The first type of love is the natural love a father has for a son. When the Jews left Egypt, God counted them right away, using the phrase, B'ni Bechor Yisroel, Israel is my firstborn. Even though we came out of Egypt a bedraggled and decimated people, Hashem still looked at us with favor and honored us like a father honors his firstborn son, his heir. The second love is a love a person has for a good friend. After the sin of the golden calf, Moshe and Levium went around the camp punishing anyone who had worshipped the idol, and nobody raised a hand to stop them, recognizing, of course, the legitimacy of their mission. The mere fact that nobody tried to stop them shows us that the people had done teshuvah, repentance, for their misdeed. Hashem's counting of them at this time was like a person who anxiously calls his friend to make sure he's okay. The third type of love, a love a nation has toward its ruler, was expressed in the third counting. When Hashem desired to rest his presence among the people, he counted them to remind them of their honored status as gems in his eyes and as nachas in their service of him. All Hasidim know that there is yet another type of love, the love a chassid has for his Rebbe, and perhaps the stronger love a Rebbe has for his chassid. There is a famous story told of Reb Shalom Dovber and his brother Reb Zalman Aaron, who, when they were young boys, were playing a game in which Reb Zalman Aaron was a Rebbe and Reb Shalom Dovber was a chassid. The chassid would ask the Rebbe questions and the Rebbe would answer. Reb Shalom Dovber told the Rebbe about a problem in his personal avoda. After hearing the answer, the chassid, who later became a real Rebbe, informed Reb Zalman Aaron that he wasn't acting like a true Rebbe. A true Rebbe, he said, would sigh before answering. A Rebbe's love of his chassidim is so strong that he shares the pain a chassid has, carrying the burden of the man's sorrow in order to lighten the chassid's pain. May we merit the time when we will be able to see and relate to leaders such as these, and may they come speedily in our days. Have a good Shabbos.
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is brought to you by Perfect Flooring, 412-551-1697. Yitzchak Chico Kadosh says, we bring the showroom to you. Call 412-551-1697 for Perfect Flooring. And now, our renowned storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
While the custom of all-night Torah study on the night of Shavuos was recorded many, many years ago, until four centuries ago, it was observed by only small groups of scholars. Widespread acceptance of the custom was first popularized by the scholars and Kabbalists of Tzfas, who were inspired by the following incident. Reb Shlomo Halevi Alkibitz, a leading Kabbalist and member of the exalted circle of Rav Yosef Karo, author of Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch. The two had first met in Turkey, where Reb Shlomo became a disciple of Rav Yosef. Reb Shlomo's account of a Shavuos night study session while he and Rav Yosef were together in Turkey is recorded in the Shalah. Let it be known that the pious one, Rav Yosef, and I, his servant, along with some of our colleagues, decided to remain awake the entire night of Shavuos. Thank God we were able to do so. We did not cease our studies for a moment. They studied certain portions of Torah and then proceeded to the Mishnah. They had completed the first two tractates exactly at midnight, when the following occurred. A voice was heard from the Chosid's mouth, a great voice which spoke very clearly. All who were present heard it, but nevertheless could not understand what it said. The voice was very melodious and grew ever stronger. Out of great fear we covered our faces and were unable to raise our eyes to see what was happening. Then the voice said, "Hearken, my beloved friends. You who are scrupulous in the observance of mitzvahs, peace unto you, my beloved comrades. You are praiseworthy, and your parents are praised for having borne you. The words of your Torah study and the breath of your mouths have split the very heavens and have ascended to them all directly to Hashem. The malachim are silent. The srafim are quiet. The chayus are standing still. And the entire heavenly array, as well as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is listening to your voices." After saying this, the voice identified itself as the angel that represents the very soul of the Mishnah. "I am the Mishnah. I have come to speak to you as a mother who admonishes her son. Had there been 10 of you here tonight, you would have been exalted even higher. Nevertheless, you have risen extremely high. Do not pause in your Torah study, for it draws a thread of grace upon you, and your Torah study is sweet to Hashem. Return to your studies. Do not pause for a moment. After the festival, go up to Eretz Yisrael, where you will be able to eat from the exalted land's bounty. Do not worry about your possessions, for I shall support you. Peace unto you, peace unto your families." The angel of the Mishnah taught them much from the wellsprings of wisdom and promised them great reward. Their eyes streamed with tears of joy as all they heard from this voice. This angel reappeared to Rav Yosef on the Friday night following Shavuos, and appeared to him regularly for the next 50 years, especially on Friday nights, after Rav Yosef would complete his study session of Mishnah. The angel came to be known as the Magid, for he would tell Rav Yosef secrets of the Torah, and reveal to him deep interpretations of Torah verses. These interpretations were recorded by Rav Yosef, and form the text of his work, Magid Meisharim. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos and a Freilich Yontif.
wrap up our final Sphere program for this set. A couple of reminders. Yeshiva Schools presents Our Children, Our Guarantors, Sunday, May 20th at 11 a.m. at the Yeshiva Boys School with Rabbi Zalman Leib Markowitz. For more information, call Rabbi Yossi Rosenblum, 412-422-7300, extension 1219. Book sale, Sunday, June 30th, B'nai Emunah Synagogue. Call B'nai Emunah at 412-521-1477 for more information. The Rieger family, Shari Torah Congregation, have a special tribute to Tina Rieger. Sunday, May 20th, this is Sunday, at 6 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center, Katz Theater. For more information, call 412-421-8855. Lunch and Learn, take place at B'nai Emunah Synagogue, Thursday, May 24th. And for more information on that, call 412-521-1477. Don't forget Jewish Community Day, Kennywood, Sunday, August 26th. And the Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, call Ilana at 412-422-2224 for more information on that one. And don't forget, you want your muscles on our program, you got to call us, 412-979-5770, or drop us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And we close out. We'd like to thank, of course, Rabbi Zalman Leib Markowitz for being with us and teaching us some new techniques and some ways to look at parenting. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Mr. Vordelin, and, of course, our famous engineer, Jeremy LeBossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time, 8:14 p.m. It's been fun, but, you know, I got to run. Until next week, I'm Hirsch Lynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat and, of course, a very freilich and yontif on the holiday of Shavuos. Take care. We'll see you next week. Shabbat.